This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 673, recorded Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to what I suppose is the ultimate episode of the Techno Buffet Podcast.
That would be the last episode.
Isn't that what ultimate means?
I guess that's one meaning. Yes, yes.
It sounds better. So, we did get some letters in regards to our imminent departure.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I'm surprised.
Let's see. So, the first one came from Paul. Paul, hi, have you considered continuing as a single host for the pod? I assume that was directed at me. But the answer is I did actually consider that. However, I don't know how that would work without a jury. I think
I'm just a peanut gallery. You could probably have an AI do what I do.
I'm just saying it's a lot less fun on your own.
Talking to the ether is less fun than talking to a person?
Generally speaking. But no, a single person podcast isn't a conversation so much as a, you know, you sort of have to script it a bit more. I may give it a try. I'm not discounting that I might do some tests and see how I feel it is. And there's also, of course, the option of seeing if somebody else wants to do a podcast. Not necessarily this one, but I like doing a podcast every week, so maybe I'll find something else. We also got something from Tom. Guys, I've been listening for a ton of years and wrote in a few times. Thanks for 14 years of shows. You have helped elevate my commute. Thanks for everything, and I hope things go well for you both. Here's hoping Jerry's mental health, blood pressure, stress levels, and workload all get lighter. Guru, enjoy the desk. So long, and thanks for all the fish. By the way, I've decided that seems like an appropriate end title. Also, we got one from Jim, who has written us before as well. Jerry, saddened to hear that you're moving on, but I understand life is not constant, and it would be boring if it was. Thank you for years of content. I'm wondering what this means for the podcast. As for ideas, I will throw this out. I, too, fell in love with Android, having migrated from a Palm Pilot Trio 755, which I kept 4.5 years until it finally died. One thing that really bothered me was moving my private data from a sync PC to a semi-public cloud. Many public security issues later and my original discomfort unabated have me longing for a more private model than my PDA data. I'm watching things like OwnCloud and NextCloud, but those solutions are fairly technical, even for an engineer such as myself. I don't see anything similar to the synced model that Palm used. Anything in this particular area is of high interest. Android has become mature and largely something that just works. I miss the exploration of possibilities that I enjoyed in the early years. Best wishes on the transition. I'm staying tuned to see what happens. So I'm taking that as two people who want to see if I continue doing, not necessarily this, but something.
Sure.
After this. Now, I have, if you've noticed, I get onto like a random topic of exploration. Like one month, it's why don't I fix the 3D printer, which I'm getting closer to, by the way.
Good.
I picked up all the wires off the floor, so I'm making progress. And the next week, I'm renovating my desk, and the week after that, which is this week, I'm playing with new types of mechanical switches for my keyboard. By the way, I'm trying yellow this week.
Ooh. It is nice being able to change the look of your keyboard.
Well, that's not the look. That's the feel.
Oh, You're swapping out the switches, not the keycaps.
I do occasionally swap the keycaps, but that's mostly because I've discovered I like PBT over ABS in terms of the feel.
Sure.
And also, I was
really?
Getting, you like ABS? Or you like PBT?
I think so, yes.
Well, the thing is...
Or no, I'm using double shot PBT, so no. No, yeah, I don't.
No, for me, my longest problem has been, and this goes back to years ago when I bought a keyboard and very quickly rubbed off all the letters. Not intentionally. The manufacturer who made this keyboard, I called them because it happened very quickly. They said that they had a bunch of people who a percentage of individuals, their skin oils tended to rub off keys faster than other people.
Right.
So they actually sent me a replacement. They said, we're trying a different coating to try to reduce that. And that did work. But I think I have that sort of problem where I tend to, like, my keys on a conventional ABS plastic keyboard get shiny and messed up very quickly. So I found that the PBT ones, especially also the higher quality, even higher quality ABS that are essentially made in a better manner, tend to last longer for me.
Right.
Even though I'm still buying fairly cheap PBT, I'm not buying like, you know, $100 keycaps. They make those apparently, but, or,
yes.
Well, no, it's a rabbit hole of, you know, of which you've noticed I get into a lot of rabbit holes. I was looking into this and found out that this past weekend was the New York City keyboard modders meetup.
Really?
Yes,
that's
the,
cool.
Yes, the New York, essentially, it's the New York City mechanical keyboard meetup was in Queens this weekend, and I found out that after, not that I necessarily, those people are like hardcore by comparison. But it would have been interesting to see all these people who were essentially displaying their keyboards in a room, because there were pictures, like you might go to a classic car show.
Yes.
So that would be sort of interesting to me, because they had like little, the pictures show like little cards. You can touch okay, pick up okay, flip it over. So like little cards explaining, you know, what the keyboard is, like what its properties are. So that would have been an interesting thing just to see. But for me, it's a sort of try new things. So I've been trying the yellows. I was trying reds. I've generally used browns because I find blues are a little too loud. And you were making commentary on some of my keyboards over the years, I believe.
Sure.
So I figure, you know, the yellows are working nicely, but I also got a couple of blacks, so I'm going to just continue playing until I find what I like. But, and, you know, swap some things around, change some things up, and I'm learning. So, I was, to get back to why I started sort of mentioning this, it's sort of, that's what I sort of enjoy about any technology conversation, which is, okay, fine, I'm interested in this, you know, let's have a conversation about the thing that I've been exploring, or in this case, depending on who's talking to me, the thing somebody else is exploring. So I'd like to figure out a way to sort of keep that going, to have a conversation about whatever, you know, like really interesting subgenre I've randomly stumbled into this particular month. And I sort of took it from some of the people who wrote that there may be an interest, depending on which subgenre it is, for sort of the approach of, okay, most of the people listening have some level of technical interest, but not everybody wants to really dig down into, let's say, the I have to go and maintain or build the system that's going to take me like 3 months to build.
Right.
So I think there's something for the enthusiast who's not necessarily a really hardcore one. You know, like the casual technology person who likes technology but doesn't necessarily want to spend that much time on one single thing, likes to jump around, explore new things. So I don't know where that's going to lead me. I'm curious if anybody has any thoughts, because if you note what Jim was talking about, he was talking about OwnCloud and NextCloud, and I'd love a chance to talk about that. I've done some things with it, but I feel like even though I've installed NextCloud and I've been using it, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of what I can do with it. Same thing even with Home Assistant. I feel like I could do so much more with that.
But the 3D printing, I mean, the space itself continues to evolve. We're starting to get people experimenting with different ways of moving the heads.
Yeah.
That so
And
it's
I've told you that I sort of came to that point where I could tinker with that printer for a long time and maybe get it
oh
to print
yeah.
something. And my frustration is I want to make stuff. I never thought I'd be good at necessarily designing things from scratch. I want the printer to print things, and I feel like I spent more time trying to get the printer to consistently print stuff than I did printing things. And that was so I am going to give it one more try, but after that I may just like give the printer as a gift to somebody who has more patience and start saving up for something that will not make me as annoyed. And I think that's the sort of perspective that I'm talking about. I don't mind a challenge, but it's sort of if I'm going to spend more time on the challenge than the result, then that I would love to steer other people away from doing the same thing, if that's the
Yeah,
space
I
they're in.
guess I looked at it. I enjoyed the working
No,
on the
so do
printer.
I. That's what I'm saying, but it's a balance.
Right, but you work on the printer and you kind of the idea is that when you're done working on the printer, it's there and ready to do something when you need it.
I
So if
felt I
it's just
never.
always working on it because it never works, then that's a problem.
That's why I was saying I felt like the Ender just required too much always working on it.
Sure.
I want a little less. But again, people have strong feelings about that also. So I don't know. And again, I may try some things. You can, of course, continue with enjoying the restart of Gadget Wisdom, which has been posting some interesting stories lately. I'm sure, Jerry, that you've been reading it religiously. No, I was not seriously expecting you to say yes to that. Although, according to our advertising manager, the individual who has pushed for people to start writing on it again, we
Right.
made 11 cents yesterday in ads.
Wow.
Yeah. Just keep going on that. We might be able to pay for server hosting costs. We haven't.
Cool.
The original goal was to break even. Essentially, that the ads on any of the sites would just sort of cover the cost of having all this infrastructure that we enjoyed playing with. I wouldn't mind getting to that goal again, where I'm not losing money on the deal. And again, I've contributed a few things where it's sort of I'm only going to talk about things that I actually feel like talking about, instead of previously where I had written things for various sites that are hosted on that server, where it was just, okay, this sounds like people might be interested. So I've decided to go the other way. If I'm not interested enough to write about it, I'm not going to. So I think like my varying jumping around from things may interest some people. But we'll see. And maybe I will be back with something. But Jerry, I hope you will occasionally pop up. And
Up.
I'm not, well, no, I'm saying I'm not shutting, no matter what I do, even if I don't shut down, excuse me, even if I don't do any more audio, I'm not shutting down the website. So the thing is, if you want to tell everybody what you're up to, I am happy to post something.
Ah,
People might
cool.
miss you. Also, you are always welcome to drop me a line.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I've been hanging around the same podcast for 14 years. Clearly, I'm a creature of habit. And as I said, I just don't know what I'm going to do with that 1 hour a week I'm getting back. Also, I built that whole system to funnel links into the website. I'm going to have to find a use for that now. I'll figure out something. But that does bring us to the last list of links I compiled. There were some interesting things this week. Walmart is working on a new pro-tier Google TV device. So, being as the Walmart's On is the one that I keep in my bag for trips, because it's a. Unlike the Google TV, which I considered carrying around, it ha allows you to remove the HDMI cable, making it easier to try to shove it into the back of a hotel room television.
Yeah.
Did I tell you what happened at the hotel in Ireland? I actually got the housekeeping staff to help me lift the television off of the mount on the wall so I could plug in the HDMI cable. It is the first time I had to ask housekeeping to assist me with that because I was afraid I might break their television trying to plug it in. clearly I'm dedicated. Also, I have to go back to that hotel. Which is a shame, because I got hit by a bicycle the last time I was there. Anyway. Fortunately, it was only part of the bicycle, and I was able to get out of the way in time. But you don't normally see bicycles going full speed down the hallway of a hotel.
No.
No. Little children.
Not very often.
Little
but
children.
But sometimes.
No, there was some sort of family that must have been staying for long term on the floor, because they had like toys in the hallway and bicycles, and they're playing out there. So I don't know why they put me on the floor with the people next to the people who were essentially playing with bicycles, but they did. So. But anyway, Walmart has apparently a new Pro Tier device, and if it's keeping with the pricing of the existing ones. Because remember, the current Walmart box, which is not a bad one, again, for travel, is $20 for a 4K device that does get updates. I'm not saying it's the best device, but it is a good, reliable device for the price. So if they have a new version coming out, I am curious. And again, it does run pretty close to the same version of Google TV that the actual official Google ones, right? There's also a rumor that Google will be coming out with a new Chromecast with Google TV as well. And you're still with Roku?
No. Well, I have one Roku machine, but everything else is a Fire Cube.
Yep.
And I think, if for my advice, if you're not an Alexa household, then skip the Fire Cube and go straight to the Fire Stick, because the extra CPU in the box is just not worth it. The Fire Stick works perfectly fine.
Well, I bought my parents a Fire TV Cube because they liked the idea of being able to turn on the television and change the channel using the Amazon system.
Yep, yep.
But it's got progressively worse. And I think the same problem has sort of been happening with Google, where the voice recognition seems to have gotten worse as opposed to better. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. And I'm not talking about I don't understand that they're not putting as many resources behind it as they used to. They have a commercial product where they're always talking about, oh, we're having, you know, all this, you know, highfalutin, as my grandmother used to say, AI technology. But yet somehow it's not getting better. It's getting worse. You'd think if they decided to put less money towards it, it would just stay the same. It wouldn't get less.
Exactly. Well,
so
as you try and tune things for edge cases, you lose accuracy on the primary cases.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is sitting around watching my mother yell at the Amazon about being able to change the channel.
That's funny.
It has gotten to the point where the remote is becoming more popular again. And considering that I did this because neither of my parents wanted to get up and find the remote, which I thought this was a good idea.
Right.
It's sort of frustrating for them. But I'm hoping that the Home Assistant one may get... It's not there yet either, because it doesn't understand me half the time either, but it's an open source project. I have lower expectations. I think it does pretty well, to be honest. So I have one of those here on the desk, and I could say the wake word that I left it on the default. Hey, Nabu, turn off the hallway light. Turn light. See, that worked.
Do you have to talk like that, or do you just do that? It seems to help.
What? Just sort of the very clear, very slow voice.
Right. The excessive enunciation. The pausing between each word.
I don't know. I find when I talk fast, sometimes it doesn't get it. So I do need to talk clearly. Because you've seen those little boxes.
Yes.
So it's not perfect. But you're asking, does it normally work? And is it sitting on my desk close enough to me that when I'm sitting here, I can say something and it'll work? Also, I haven't played enough with sort of the custom stuff. So I don't know if I could actually get it all the way to controlling a television and changing the channel. I don't think I'm quite at that point yet, but I think it could get there. Because who cares about this stuff more than hobbyists?
Fair enough.
But the reason I'd asked you about Roku is there were a few Roku stories this week, including I put in two articles from two different sources about the same problem that Roku apparently has this idea of showing ads on HDMI inputs. By the way, I thought they were already doing this. But I have a bunch of Rokus that are left over because of Spectrum. So one of the places I hang out, which is the house that my family had upstate, that I often spend time at, and I'll be up there for Passover, which is coming at the end of the month. They're a Spectrum territory, and Spectrum has an app for Roku, but it doesn't really have an app for Google TV or Fire TV, last I checked. So if you want to not have cable boxes, it seems like a Roku is a inexpensive way to put effectively a cable box on a television. So that's the reason why those Rokus are still there, even though even here where I have a Roku TV, I've disabled the Roku part and have the Google TV into it. And it's just not worth replacing the entire television just to get rid of the Roku part. But it is what it is. So I'm a little worried that if Roku feels like the way that they can keep their prices low is to make me see ads, please tell me there's a way to pay more money to make the ads go away. And please tell me that I don't have to get an object in my house where I have to subscribe to keep ads out of it. And again, I'm emphasizing this in order to watch television, I am also paying for, not ads on their own. They have their Roku channel. They want to show ads on their own streaming video. That's their business.
Yep.
Yeah, well. Anyway, Google launched their Find My Device feature. So they've been talking about this for a while. So Find My Device essentially helps you find apparently offline devices.
What?
So because there's specialized hardware on the Pixel 8 and Pixel 8 Pro, owners will be able to find their devices even if they're powered off or the battery is dead. So they've apparently found, I'm guessing they must have some sort of secondary transmitter. But I'm
Wow, if you don't already have an aluminum foil hat on, I mean, I'm just saying.
You can keep track with compatible Bluetooth tags. So apparently, they already have two vendors that are selling them, and I'm sure there'll be more. Because whatever you can say, AirTags, again, don't cover the whole population, even though they are popular. You can pinpoint devices at home using your Nest devices, so that's another one. And you can, of course, share your accessories with your friends and family. So they
Wow.
move the Find My Phone network into a more expansive Find My Device network. And in late May, again, the first Bluetooth trackers are going to start shipping. So that includes Chipolo's 1-point keychain tag, which takes a CR2032. Their credit
But it
cards.
looks huge.
Well, the thing is that it doesn't look that huge. It looks about the same size as the older Tiles. They also have, if you look at the picture, they have the credit card size one, which does have a non-rechargeable battery. So once it's dead, it's dead. But that's also
Right.
similar to Tile. Tile has one that you can stick, a flat one you can stick in your wallet that can't be recharged, and they do have a rechargeable one that you can stick on a keychain. And I've resisted upgrading to the newer Tiles that don't have the replaceable battery and stuck with the older ones that do, even though they don't have as much range. There's a
Sure,
third one.
because they're not disposable.
Yeah, there's a third one where the Tile Pro apparently does have a reusable battery where you can replace the battery on it. But it's more expensive, and I haven't gotten there. But I bought a pack of Tiles when they were on deep discount, and there's one in my book bag, the one that I bring my laptop or other devices when I travel. There's one in my duffel bag, the one that I usually have with me. There's one in my roll-on bag. So whichever bag I take, there is a Tile hidden is sort of relative because it's not like if you didn't want to find it, you couldn't. It isn't attached to the outside; it's inside the bag. So it can't be easily ripped off. Nothing's impossible, but all of my bags have one of those. All of my keys to various places have a Tile on them, so I could find all those things. The only annoying thing is when I accidentally sit on my keys and it starts playing music. Moving along, apparently, several Mobvoi watches are getting an update. So I found out about this, and it's been rolling out an update for the TicWatch E3, which, if you remember, I bought one of those because they promised that Wear OS 3 would be coming. So it took 2 years, but Wear OS 3 has come. And now what are we up to?
Wear OS 8, 11, 14?
Well, let's just put it this way. We're well past 3. But the point is, they have updated. And I decided, even though I've been enjoying the Pine Time, I decided to spend some time with my TicWatch because I wanted to see how the experience differed. So I charged the thing up, I connected it, I installed the update, and then there was a second update where the first update updated it to Wear OS 3 and took away your ability to use the Wear OS app. You have to use the MoBoy Health app to connect to it. Not quite sure why that is. Then the second update came through after that, and that allows you to... apparently it fixed a bunch of things, including an issue with Bluetooth calling. Now, I've never called from my watch. That sort of feels like it would be weird to me to like hold my watch up to my face and have a conversation with somebody.
Sure.
But again, I haven't been on the go since I did this over the weekend, and I didn't really go anywhere where I'd be playing with the watch. But I think I'm going to give it a shot and see, is, you know, would I still enjoy, after the simple life of the Pine Time, would I still enjoy the extra features that the MoBoy offers now that it has a new update? Because the reviews of the update to 3, there were people who really hated some things that they chose to do. So some of the, like every time you have a third party doing Android, there are always those customizations people don't like, whatever they are. But I just want to see what I enjoy this if I ever decided to get a different watch someday. So I will report back in some form or another on that at some point. But we'll see. I can't report it on this unless I do the solo show because I still haven't decided what I'm going to do about that.
Sure.
Yeah. Lawnchair, which I've talked about sometimes, is back in beta. So this is Lawnchair 14. And they've changed the numbering system, so it's sort of matching with the... Since it's meant to be sort of inspired by a specific version of Android's launcher and with Pixel inspiration, this is keyed to sort of the Android 14 level of Pixel.
Right.
So there, it's called Lawnchair 14. It's a beta. It has... changes such as quick switch support, global search functionality, smart spacer integration, and additional features. So the spacer, I assume, is making it easier to put more icons on, which, by the way, is really annoying my mother. Well, I mentioned I talked her into, when she replaced her phone, into a Pixel 7a. And she went back and forth, you know, because she hates changing phones. Even though it was her idea that she asked me to find her a new phone, but and her old phone was being problematic, she just doesn't like change when she's used to something. So the thing is that I had Lawnchair on there for, so it would look like a stock experience,
right?
And Lawnchair allows you to have more than four icons at the bottom of the launcher, but the stock Pixel launcher actually only allows, the stock Pixel launcher allows four, and Lawnchair, she had five. So she was very upset that she's lost an icon in the dock at the bottom.
Oh.
I suppose I could install Lawnchair, but I told her to give it a chance before she had me playing with it more. A few more things as we wrap up. Schleswig Holstein, which is one of Germany's 16 states, has confirmed plans to move tens of thousands of systems from Windows to Linux. So this follows their previous established plans to move off of Microsoft Office in favor of LibreOffice. So apparently they like LibreOffice so much that they have decided to move all their systems to Linux.
Wow.
So apparently, in 2021, someone commented the then Minister for Energy, Agriculture, the Environment, Nature, and the Digitalization of Schleswig-Holstein. I just love German titles. Though, I'm just saying, I imagine what that sounds like in German. But anyway, due to the high hardware requirements of Windows 11, we would have a problem with older computers. With Linux, we don't have that. So they're also ditching SharePoint and Exchange in favor of Nextcloud and OpenExchange and Mozilla Thunderbird.
Thunderbird's still around?
It came back. You know, it had a reboot. Reboots are popular nowadays. They're also developing an open source directory service to replace Active Directory and an open source telephony offering. Gotta love
it. Oh, that's hard to say.
Well, it's interesting when the government is developing replacements for Microsoft products. And again, this isn't quite the first time because apparently the same government official said that they were reaching their limits with proprietary software contracts because the fees keep rising. So apparently using open source and then developing your own open source enhancements around it and contributing to the open source community is, even if you have to hire a bunch of programmers, is still apparently cheaper than paying licensing fees to Microsoft, which doesn't surprise me.
That.
So apparently at the time in 2021, the same government official claimed that 90% of video conferences ran on Jitsi. The school portal for the local education apparently ran on another piece of open source software, and they designed their own interface and combination. And apparently there are some other governments that are switching to Linux as well. For example, China, North Korea, South Korea, and apparently the city of Barcelona. And let's see, Munich moved a bunch of things off of Windows into Linux. But apparently Munich, after getting a lot of user dissatisfaction, apparently reverted. But the same government official that is being quoted for this article said that the employees weren't sufficiently involved. So they plan on
sufficiently involved.
As in, they sort of forced the change on them without having a gradual rollout to sort and working with the various departments to see their needs.
Right.
So, and I understand that. I'm sure everybody who's listening at some point has been involved with an organization that decided to change something that you liked and you were forced to use something different. And you did not like that thing that you were changing to, and they didn't involve you in the in anything about what your needs were. And as a result, you had to deal with the reality instead of, again, it being dealt with for you. You can tell I'm in the middle of a software transition at work, can't you?
Yes.
Where they did not actually poll any employees about what their needs were before
they
made their decision.
It happened.
Oh, I know. Let's put it this way. I told one person I know who's used the software that we are moving to, that we're moving to it, and their exact phrase was, "My condolences."
That's funny.
Yeah, well. On a positive note, the current software that we're using, when I told people what we used, they said, never heard of it. So at the very least, we are moving to a piece of software people have heard of. We're just often late to these parties. I remember when I told people what year we stopped using Novell GroupWise for our email server. And there was a lot of laughing. But anyway, moving along, Google Wallet is adding a new linked passes setting. So this allows you to automatically add linked passes. So that's essentially, you can allow providers to automatically add event tickets, promotions, offers, and more to existing passes. So this doesn't allow them to add anything to your wallet. It allows them to add things that are related to things that you already have in there.
Interesting.
And you can turn it off. By the way, I want this. If I subscribe to something, and let's say I subscribe to a service where I get a redeemable coupon for a free yogurt every few months, I want them to automatically add that yogurt in if I already have my yogurt of the month pass. I don't know why that's the first thing that came to mind. I do not have a yogurt of the month pass, but you know,
that's fine.
I need an example. Anyway, if you use Google Assistant, apparently broadcasts are now a two-stage command. So they've made it longer. So it used to be you could say the wake word and then say broadcast, and then it would broadcast the message, and you could use like an intercom. But it no longer understands those that are immediately followed by the message. Instead, it will end up performing a Google search.
Ooh.
So again, they've made it worse. Again. If you've been playing with Google Wallet and you've been annoyed about their unlock and payment verification features, making it harder for you to just achieve what having the ability to quickly pay with your device is supposed to bring you, which is quickly paying with your device. Apparently, they want to explain how they're trying to make you secure while balancing this. So, they've apparently put in a prompt that allows you to sort of read why you're doing this and what you can do about it. Essentially, your credit and debit cards can't be charged unless you've used a verification method when making a retail payment, and it has to be recently. So the idea is, if you leave your device unlocked all the time, you're going to have to be re-prompted. But if you just recently put in, and recently is sort of a variable term, but if you've recently put in your credentials, then it won't ask you, apparently.
Ooh.
So if your phone's been idle for a certain period of time, it will still ask. Now, the other thing is this does vary. So unlock is required for all transactions in the United States, whereas in some places, unlock was not required for payments below a certain threshold.
So, really?
Yeah. But not apparently that was not a U.S. thing.
Okay.
So in the U.S., apparently, there's enough fraud in the U.S. that I guess they wanted a verification every time. I don't know. The second change apparently allows you to ride transit without verifying it's you first.
Well, it's probably a small amount of money.
Well, the thing is, I understand risk decisions. But I'm going to go back to, if you don't find a way to make it easy for people to pay with their device, they're not going to want to pay with their device. I'm going to use the, what is that thing? That Disney watch that I got. Why am I blanking on the name? The Magic Band that I got when I was playing around at Disney, so I could play with a Magic Band. And by the way, having a thing where you could just sort of swipe it to get onto things and you didn't have to fumble with unlocking your phone was very helpful. However, all of those other things they promised that went with it, not worth it. So I think, in hindsight, I would have gone with the other option that some people suggested. Disney will give you a card. If you don't want to use your phone, they'll actually give you a card that you can swipe. Someone said, just put the card on a ID badge lanyard and keep it around your neck, and you have the exact same thing you're looking for.
Really?
So it's sort of the same thing here. If I have to unlock my phone to pay, and I have a card in my wallet, otherwise known as a credit card, that I could just hover over the machine, and it doesn't require me to unlock anything, what sounds easier? I could just keep that around my neck in a little RFID pouch and slide it out, and it will take less time. So it's sort of the balance, again, between security and convenience. Here's one you're going to like in regards to your tinfoil hat. Android may soon automatically turn Bluetooth back on a day after it's turned off.
Yeah, see, what's up with that? Especially when they're talking about Bluetooth trackers. Coincidence? I'm a-thinking not.
Well, again, they don't want to track you. What they want is, if they want you, they want the devices to be able to repeat for their new Find Your Device network, and if you keep turning it off, then it won't be able to look for nearby devices and update the network. So it's not spying on you so much as spying on the world around you.
I didn't say it was spying on me, but it's still, they're using it for data gathering of where stuff is. Yeah.
And again, hopefully, if they have this feature, there will be a way to turn it off if you do not want to participate. But it's sort of the fact that they're talking about this. It's every company wants to say, oh, we're great with privacy, and then we need more data. Let's be less private.
Yep.
More things. Apparently, Google Podcasts is officially gone.
No more Google Podcasts.
Yes. Appropriate time for it. So we knew they were pushing people to YouTube Music. There are some limitations for YouTube Music, but apparently that didn't stop them from killing Google Podcasts. It is now gone. You can't use it, despite the fact that they said it wouldn't be going away until July. It's not usable. So that's how long they're going to keep your data. You still have the option to go in, be told that it's no longer available, and you have until the 30th of July to export your data. Oh, well.
I kind of thought you were going to say that Google Podcast is done, just like us.
You're going to make
then me, we would like fade to black.
You're going to make me more sad.
I'm sorry.
It's the end of an era. It's not like I thought that we would continue this podcast for the next 30 years. That would have been weird. And I didn't even necessarily think when we started this we'd be doing it for this long. It's just, you know, like anything, when there's a transition in your life, it's a sad thing.
Yes, sir.
So I will leave it on that note in regards to this, and I will continue to say, please continue subscribing to the feed, because if I decide to do something, I will turn it back on. It may be that every few weeks I do something. I don't think I'm going to do anything weekly in the short term, and I'm not committing to doing anything ever. But I am going to decide in the next few weeks, am I going to experiment? Because it may be that I try doing something by myself, I don't like it, and I give up. It may be that I try to find a successor for Jerry, because I could never find a replacement.
Oh.
And we'll see if there are any volunteers for that. And it may be that every so often I just want to have a conversation and I put it onto this feed and I find different people to talk to.
That would be cool.
Wish I had that many people. I'm not saying I don't have people. I'm saying I don't think I have enough for for such a regular rotation.
Right. But no, it doesn't have to be regular. But every now and then,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and I may, if every so often check in with you, and you're always welcome if we want to do something every few months.
Again, a random flying bathtub.
Still have that website too. But as I said, I want people to subscribe because I will see if I can find something to do. Because again, this has been a very, we'll say, dependable part of my life.
Yes, sir.
If nothing else, where when I want to talk about technology, I have a venue to do so with somebody I enjoy talking to. With it. Oh. I can't find other people I would enjoy talking about this with, which is why I'm saying I'm not closing the door. However, the door is being temporarily closed while we do some potential renovation or other rethinking. Also, I am in the process of migrating to a server number 2 from server number 1. Server number 1 has been running almost as long as this podcast. So it is time to retire it and switch over to the new server, and I will probably be moving the Techno Buffet infrastructure over sometime in the next few days. I want to wait until most people have downloaded an episode before I do that. Because it's not like it's going to be down for too long. In fact, most people won't notice because the old server will still be serving it until DNS picks up the new one. But I want to get all of that fixed because if I don't shut down server 1 by the end of the month, I owe them another $24. Not a lot of money, but why waste it? I've been talking about replacing this server for 2 years. Well, it's running CentOS, and I really got annoyed with the whole CentOS switching from a long-term stability over to a rolling release, and essentially CentOS Stream.
Right.
So I'm switching to a different distribution that still does long-term stable releases. Also, it gets me like a major version bumps on a lot of things, because if you're running a 10-year-old version of a distribution, as you might imagine, you don't get the latest version of certain things, or at least even the latest stable version. So again, I've moved a couple of the websites over, and I've moved all of the Techno Buffet and the previous Android Buffet files are now being served by Amazon CloudFront. So, and that was mostly because what was it, 95% of the space that Linode gave as part of the VPS was being used up by the podcast files. So I figured, move it somewhere else, and I could take advantage of that intelligent S3 tier.
Well, I wish you luck, man.
Okay, well, again, keep in touch, and if I get that mailing list started for various sites, I will make an exception to my normal opt-in policy and forcibly subscribe you.
Excellent.
So, because I figure you will never remember to subscribe yourself. I know you very well. What can I say? A few other things. In regards to that, to everybody who's been listening for all this time who didn't write in, you still have a chance to write in. And if something comes in, obviously I would forward it to Jerry. Not that Jerry has ever been shy about giving out his email address.
Nope. I've had it for the last 15 years. It's on all the list.
Yep. And beyond that, we'll see what's next. Keep an eye on the Techno Buffet site. You can also go look over at Gadget Wisdom, which is where this all started. And we'll see from there. I'd like to say so, until next time, but until we meet again.
Goodbye, folks.
Happy trails.
Fair winds and following seas.